Well, Merry Christmas to you. You know, we've been learning from children this Christmas about big ideas about God. I find it ironic, this past week I actually read a letter from a child to Santa, and I never believed this until this year, his first year, but it said, "Dear Santa, I've been really naughty this year, but deal with it. I don't need you. My pappy will get me everything I want for Christmas." Right? Any other, I love Christmas, and I'm sure that you do too. Here at First Church, I just want to welcome you to Christmas Sunday. Do you realize that? Christmas Sunday. We won't be together except Christmas Eve. Next Sunday's after Christmas. Christmas is this Friday. We've been talking about My God at Christmas. We've been teaching you big ideas about God through the eyes of children. We've been learning about Christmas and about the big ideas about God through the eyes of children. We've been looking at this passage every week, Mark chapter 10, verse 15. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It's absolutely crucial that we understand and that we accept and that we have the heart of a child. Because the big ideas about God, the big things about God that we learn at Christmas are best seen through the eyes of children. We've been looking at this, or this is the fourth week. We started out by talking about how God is for me. How God is your biggest cheerleader. How God is on your side. How if God carried pictures of his children in his wallet, yours would be in there. Did you ever see a grandparent who pulled out the pictures of the grandchildren and, you know, the thing just went way down? Or they pull out that little obligatory photo album in their purse, you know, that's about this thick, you know, when you ask for a picture and they show you. Or they take their phone and they just, you know, show you, right? God is for you. God loves you. And that's one of the big ideas about Christmas that we learn from children. The other one is that God is with us. That the whole thing about Christmas is that God came down, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. Last week we talked to you about how God forgives us. Big ideas about God that we learn and that we accept and that we have at Christmas. Now, we're gonna finish this up. Well, we're actually finishing it up on Christmas Eve, but today we're gonna add a thought to this. And I've been so looking forward to sharing this with you because, you know, God has taught me a lot the last couple of weeks in looking at this. And before I give you the big idea today, let me give you a little bit of background about the Christmas story, okay? And I want to do it from Luke chapter 1, okay? And Luke does his Christmas story a little bit different. You know, you have the Christmas story as told in Matthew, and it starts out by giving us the genealogy of Jesus. Okay, you remember that chapter, right? All those names that you don't know how to pronounce, right? It tells us about the genealogy of Jesus. You know, the Old Testament, you know, we have all these passages, all these prophecies about Jesus. It talks about who he was and where he was going to be born and everything, lots of things about his life. There's a lot of stories in the Bible. You know, John talks about, you know, Jesus being the Word of God that was there in the beginning. But Luke does something totally different with the Christmas story. Have you ever noticed that? Matter of fact, Luke starts out the Christmas story by not even talking about Jesus. He tells us about a childless couple. He begins by saying, hey, a lot of people have told this story, and now I want to tell this story. And he starts by talking about this childless couple. He says that it was during the time of King Herod. And I don't have time to read this entire chapter, but let me summarize it for you. He starts by talking about King Herod, and then he mentions this priest, and this priest's name was Zechariah, and Zechariah had a wife, and her name was Elizabeth. And then he spends just a couple of verses talking about their life and about their faith, and he uses words like that they were upright, that they were righteous, that they kept the commands of God. And then he points out one of the most obvious things to anybody that knew them. They had no children. Matter of fact, it says that Elizabeth was barren. It's interesting because in that day, regardless, of course, they didn't have the medical technology that we have today to determine why there's no children. But the woman always got saddled with this burden of being responsible. They talked about her womb being closed. And they described Zechariah and Elizabeth as these wonderfully pious people, people that loved God, but they had no children. And then the worst news of all, and you can read it there, it says that they didn't have any children and they were well along in years. That's a quote, that they were well along in years. Zechariah and Elizabeth were kind of the Abraham and Sarah of the New Testament. But then all of a sudden, as happens during the Christmas story, hope was born when the angel Gabriel came and appeared to Zechariah. Now, you need to understand the context of that a little bit. Zechariah was a priest, so he served in the temple. And one time a year, he actually went into the inner part of the temple and interceded on behalf of the people. And it was this time that Zechariah entered the temple, into the inner part of the temple, and he was interceding on behalf of the people. And it said that he had a vision. And during this vision, the angel Gabriel, you remember him? Appeared to Zechariah and said to him, he said, by the way, Zechariah, you're going to be a daddy. Okay, my paraphrase, but it's there. And it's really cool because, you know, right away you had to wonder if this meant, Zechariah had to wonder, does this mean that my wife Elizabeth is going to die and I'm going to take another wife who's not barren? But the angel says to Zechariah that you are going to be a daddy, that you and Elizabeth are going to have a child and that you are to name him John, and he's going to be a joy and a delight to you and to your wife, your barren wife, Elizabeth, and you are going to be so proud of him and he is going to be great among the people. That's all in there. And then Zechariah asked the same kind of question that Joseph did, that Mary did, that lots of people did in the Christmas story. He says, how can this be? And this is my favorite part of the story. This is a quote. The angel, Gabriel, says to Zechariah, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. In other words, Gabriel says, listen, this message is from God. And what I say to you will happen because of who sent me to tell you this. Now, if you read this story close, it says that Zechariah, when he left the temple, he was unable to speak. You know, and it says that he tried to communicate to others what he had seen and what he had heard and what he experienced, but nobody could hear him. And after his time was finished, it says that he went back home to his wife Elizabeth, and she became pregnant. And then we know what happened some months later. But then Gabriel, 6 months after this particular episode, he goes and speaks to Mary. And here's the big idea I want to give you. The big idea that comes from the way that Luke treats the Christmas story. And it's simply this: God can do anything. Isn't that an awesome gift? Isn't that a wonderful thing to realize? Anytime, but especially at Christmas, is that what God is giving us is the presence of this all-powerful God. You see, here's what I think is really neat, and this is, I think, why Gabriel and why Luke treats the Christmas story this way. When Gabriel goes to Mary to tell her that she is with child, that Gabriel, the angel, references this part of the story at the first part of the Gospel of Luke. And he says to her, he mentions to Mary about her cousin Elizabeth. And this is what she says. This is a quote, Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son? Old as she is, everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Now we know that Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, and it says that the baby leaped inside of Elizabeth when Mary, pregnant with the Son of God, comes into the room. You see, Gabriel knew here that Mary needed to be convinced that what was of her was conceived by an all-powerful and an all-knowing and an all-loving God. Here's the rest of that verse in verse number 38. Did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. Isn't that a wonderful message of Christmas? That we serve a God that is all-powerful and that there is nothing impossible for Him. Because I think that some of us, we get into situations in life where we feel that things are so tough, that things are so difficult, that we don't know how we're going to overcome them. You know, think about it. I'm sure there's people this morning, you have problems that you don't know how you're going to solve those problems. There's people here in this room this morning, you have challenges that you don't know how you're going to overcome them. You have obstacles that you don't know how you can go around them or over them or through them. And you're asking yourself, how in the world can I overcome this? You see, folks, that was the message that both Elizabeth and Zechariah and Joseph and Mary needed to hear, that what was happening came from a loving and gracious God, but also a powerful God. Listen, folks, children teach us this at Christmas. I mean, have you ever been around a child who wanted something for Christmas, and you knew, and other people in the family knew, and people that were neighbors knew that it couldn't happen. But in a child's mind and heart, they believe. Have you ever gotten a gift from your parents that everybody else thought was impossible, because of their love and devotion for you, they made it happen? I actually overheard a conversation of a parent just a couple of weeks ago describing something that their child wanted, and it was just far beyond their means to make it happen. Far beyond their means to make it happen. You know, I privately wanted to go to this small child and said, listen, call your pappy. I didn't do that. But you know what? I know the love of a father, the devotion of a mother and parents. They will do all they can to make it happen. I jokingly said to a child here a few Christmases ago as they were going out, I said, and I was really kidding, I said, hey, sweetheart, I said, I talked to Santa and you're getting everything you want. And the parents walked out right behind the child and they said, but listen, folks, when it comes to us and God, there's absolutely nothing impossible for God. Whatever problem, whatever challenge, whatever obstacle, when you question, how can I overcome this? Just understand that you have a heavenly Father that can bring it about. Matter of fact, here, look at this. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. I love it. O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your power and outstretched arm. Look at this. Nothing is too hard for you. That's God. You see, here's the thing. First of all, we ask, can God? And the answer should always be yes. Did you know that the Bible talks about God's power and His omnipotence 345 times? And it uses language in the Word of God that's not used in any other way regarding a person. It's always talking about God's ability and God's power, that He is all-powerful, that nothing is too hard for Him. You know, think about this for a minute. I mean, they're in a room this size, we got to have people that are dealing with things like this. I mean, can God save a marriage that's on the verge of disintegrating? I mean, do we believe that God can do that? Yes. I mean, can God mend broken relationships? You know, some of us here today, we're estranged from family or from children or people that we love. I mean, can God provide financially? Certainly there's people here today and you're wondering, you know, what's going to happen and how this is going to happen? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make even Christmas happen for my children and my family? Can God help you overcome problems and situations in your life? Can God heal you? Can God heal a loved one that you know is suffering from some terrible disease? Can God open the eyes of those that are unsaved and help bring salvation to you and your family? And the answer is always yes. God can do all those things. You know, I always feel the worst for people that don't believe in that kind of God. You know, that the people that limit what their God is able to do. Because really, you know, most of us, we believe that God can, but the real question is, will he? And to some degree, people think, you know what? I believe God can, but I don't believe he will. He may for you. Maybe he has for you. But he hasn't, and I don't think that he will for me. People believe God can, but don't necessarily believe he will. I mean, he might do it for you, and he probably won't do it for me. But folks, we have to believe in that kind of God who has the power and the ability to make it happen. One of my favorite Christmas stories is related to my niece and nephew, Jeffrey and Lisa. They're my brother's children. I mean, they're grown now. They have seven kids between them. They live up in New Hampshire. And but years ago, you know, I'm like maybe 13, 14 years older than them. So when I was a teenager or a young adult, you know, they were small and preteen kids and just loved these guys. And I'll never forget one Christmas. My brother was in the service, military service, and he was home visiting from Alaska. He was stationed up there, and his two little kids, Jeffrey and Lisa, they were on the ground. And you people are young, you have no idea what I'm about to talk about. But when I was a kid, you used to look at the Sears and Roebuck wish book. Can I get an amen from anybody my age? And, you know, and we could never afford anything that was in there. But I remember just thumbing through, man, just being enamored by what was in there and just wanting some of that stuff. And I actually witnessed this myself. Jeffrey and Lisa were sitting on the floor of my mother's home, and they were flipping through the Sears and Roebuck wish book, and they were marking things that they wanted for Christmas. And I remember they came to one thing, and Jeffrey asked his sister, said, "Lisa, what is this?" And she looked at it, and she said, "I don't know, mark it anyway. We'll find out when it gets here." That's how optimistic they were about Christmas. And I don't know about you, but our optimism at Christmas, really at any time, can be so high simply because not only that God can, but believing that he will. Believing that God has the power and the might and the ability to make it happen. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we should know this holiday, this Christmas season. Do you ever hear the story about the little boy who wanted a dog? "Mom and Dad, I want a dog." "Sweetheart, we're not getting a dog. We don't need a dog. When parents buy kids dogs, the dogs become the parents when they cease to be the pretty little cute puppy, right? And we're not getting a dog." So the little kid decided that he would try another way. He said, "Mom and Dad, I'm going to ask Pappy and Mama for a dog." "No, don't you?" "No, we're not getting a dog." So finally the little boy said, "Well, I'll try this." And so he said, "Mom and Dad, I'm praying to God that God will give me a dog." So, "Well, you go ahead and pray, and you tell God that he needs to send us a sign, okay, that you need a dog." So the kids start praying, you know, "God, I want a dog. And would you please send a sign to my mom and dad to let them know that I want a dog and I need a dog and I should have one." And that same day, they were going to stop by Walmart on their way home. And as they walked in the front door of Walmart, there was a display by the local animal shelter who had like 15 or 20 dogs that needed to be rescued, that needed to be adopted. And one of them happened to be the exact breed and the exact looking dog that this little boy wanted and had talked about. And you know what he said? Mom and Dad, look, God has given you guys a sign. And the dog went home. You see, folks, you got to believe that God can. And you got to believe that God will. And you have to trust and pray and experience God in ways that a child does so easily. You know, there's a great story in the Bible about a child that experienced God just this way. You know him. I know him as King David. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it tells the story of this young boy and his faith in God. His belief not only in God, that God exists, but that God is a powerful God. And that God has the ability to bring good things into his life to help him be victorious. Look at what he says. He said, David said to Philistine. That's one of the most amazing phrases, and I think, in the whole Bible. I mean, when you just read about David and how old he was, how small he was, that you know the armor of Saul just swallowed him up so much that he couldn't even wear it. And when you read about Goliath, that he's 9 feet tall and what he was carrying and how much his spear weighed and all this kind of stuff, and that Goliath even said, Why do you send a dog out to fight me? And here's this little boy that marches out onto the battlefield. And he says this, "You've come against me with sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands." Isn't that awesome? David, the child king, understood that God can, understood that God will, that God could, that he would. And he did. You know, folks, that kind of childlike innocence, and how a child can have that kind of faith in the face of that kind of opposition, it almost makes me embarrassed at how little many times my faith is able to empower me in situations that life brings to me. Do you ever feel that way? Folks, we need to go into the world, we need to attack life with the same kind of veracity and strength and power and might that David marched out and practiced against the Philistine giant. Because just as he was had before him insurmountable odds, so do you and I. You know, I wonder about David and his faith and his bravery, and you know, another place he talks about killing a lion. But his trust in God enabled him to overcome so much. But I wonder if all of a sudden if Goliath would have just slayed him right there, how the story would have been different. I still think that David would have been a bastion of strength and vitality in the face of great opposition. Because here's the thing, folks. The gift that we get at Christmas is that God can do everything. That God is all powerful. That nothing is impossible with Him. That when we ask, can God, the answer is always yes. In His power, in His might, there's nothing that's too big for God. Will God? Yes, God will. And He does so often. But even if He doesn't, we still must believe. mean, folks, there's all kinds of examples in life when we don't get the things that we desire and we really want at Christmas time. You know what? I could make a longer list of the things that I did not get for Christmas that I wanted rather than the ones that I got. But folks, we don't focus on those things. We focus on the love and affection that is shared with us at Christmas. And understanding that, yes, God can, and yes, God will, but even if He doesn't, we still remain faithful. You see, here's the thing, folks. A real childlike faith, understands and accepts no. You know, there's all kinds of times in my life when my mother, she did not have the ability to do for me or to get for me the things that I desired in life. But that was okay. You know, it's amazing how we don't always accept no from God. Because you know what? There's sometimes God just says no. No, He says, no, I love you too much. No, not yet. No, I got something else in store for you. But yet, in our selfishness and in our whining attitude about life, you know, a lot of times we don't accept that. But you know what? A real childlike faith. If children really understand your love and devotion for them, they accept and can handle no. You know, and something else, not only that, but just the whole thing about who God is and that He is our creator and that He is our sustainer. It's not so much about what God does, it's about who God is. And in life, we should be sustained not simply by what God does, but who God is. That God is going to be with us, that God is going to sustain us and give us strength for the moment and give us hope for tomorrow. I mean, think about it, folks. Childlike faith can handle no. It's not so much about what God does. It's about who God is. Faith is not built on what God does for us, but who God is with us and in our lives. You know, one of the greatest examples of this from Scripture comes from Daniel chapter 3. You remember the story where it tells us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they had this interchange with the king, with King Nebuchadnezzar. And they said this. They said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And He will rescue us from your hand." I mean, isn't that an exact illustration of what we've been talking about? That God can, that God will, that He's able. Look at what He says, verse 18. "But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Folks, as believers this Christmas, I think we need to focus on God rather than on what we want at Christmas time. And these big ideas about God are so very important, that He is for me, that He is with me, that He forgives me. And then today, that He is our God, that will always be there, and that His presence is true for me and you. And not only that, but that He is powerful and that He can do anything. That nothing is impossible with Him. Here's my prayer for all of you and for all of us here today. Let's pray to God for the impossible. Let's believe God for the impossible. For the things that seem out of reach, that seem beyond our control or beyond our own power to achieve. But let's believe God for those things. Let's believe God for the healing that we wonder will come. Let's believe God for the broken relationships that can be mended by His love. Let's believe God like little kids believe God. You know, not too long ago, I had a short conversation with a little child here at church. Now, I knew something about this child's family, and I knew that things were really strained at home, and wondered if even his mom and dad were going to be able to stay together. But this little child in this moment of interaction with me shared with me not only his belief, but his understanding and even his certainty that all these things were going to turn out. You know why he believed that? Because he believed in God. And he believed that God was powerful enough to make it happen. You know, if we believe in that kind of God at Christmas, that's the kind of God that can change our today and can change our eternity and can help us to understand and appreciate these big things about God at special times like Christmas. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is such a joy to sing these songs of praise, these beautiful songs of Christmas. And God, I pray that this Christmas, that today, that we would be energized by knowing that you are that kind of God, that you are an all-powerful God. That, Lord, you can, that you will, and even if you don't, that we trust, Lord, in your all-knowing nature and spirit, that you have our best in mind. And God, we want nothing more for ourselves than what you want for us. So, Lord, may we gladly and enthusiastically, Lord, embrace that kind of presence in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Thank you, Father, for what Christmas teaches us. Thank you, Lord, for what we learn through the heart of a child. That you are for us, that you're with us, that you forgive us, and that, Lord, you are all powerful. And God, may those beautiful big gifts of Christmas be ours in abundance this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.